5 from verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. Be seated while I continue. Verse 2. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction coming upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren, I love this verse from verse 4. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day shall overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And if you extract that statement very well, when he says in verse 1, he says, times and season, he is looking at the divine agenda of God for salvation. There is a timetable for salvation, which we have been looking at. And he's saying that you have no need of it. It means the Thessalonian church, that we are grounded concerning God's divine timetable. When in verse 2, he said, for you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so coming as a thief in the night, it means he will come when people are not expecting him. He said, but the next verse said, for when they shall say, peace and safety. Who are they? They are the people of the world. There will a time will come when they will be doing one thing or the other to covet peace. Looking for peace. Looking for peace. They will look for a man of peace. When they are talking about peace, peace, it is at that time, suddenly, something will happen. Sudden destruction coming upon them as travel upon a woman with child. Amen. And he added, but you, brethren, are not in darkness. We are not in darkness too. Not only the Thessalonian church, the bride of Christ, we are not in darkness. Can we clap our hands for our God? Hallelujah. He said we are children of light and the children of day. And the children of light is the children of revelation. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's revelation. Amen. And so I want you to take this thing very seriously. And this teaching, remember, I keep saying it every day, that this thing is not in a book, in some bookshop somewhere. Because the truth is, God designed it that way. Because the bride is different from the concubine. There are things that everybody can know, but there are some things that everybody should not know. Until John had the seven thunders in Revelation chapter 10, and he was about to write, and God said he should not write it. Why? And what John saw, John was the type of the bride. What John saw that God told him not to write, it will be revealed to us before the rapture. Oh yes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 12, he was also told, don't worry, seal up those things first. Don't bother about the time. Don't bother yet. Amen. Because there's God's appointed time for everything. Once anything is written, Satan will pervert it. That is it. Once anything is already written, is already revealed, Satan will come with his counterfeit impersonations. But God is wiser than that. Praise the Lord. I can't forget, anytime I sit down to think of the wisdom of God, I'm telling you, we never hear about the emphasis of the seven church ages, the seven star messengers. We never hear about the voice of the seventh angel. Nobody went that way throughout the first church age. The first church age came and happened and passed. Nobody took note of it. The second age came again. Nobody took note of it until the seventh church age. And watch it. It was in the seventh church age that God came and revealed to us that he has been working in his church the past six, seven church ages. He did not make that revelation known until he finished it. On the seventh church age, then he now told them, I have been working in the past six church ages. Now this is the last church age. And as soon as he said this is the last church age, the seventh church age messenger, come and see how people started impersonating. They started also making some calculation and saying, yes, after William Branham, then I am the next. I am the next. Did you hear John Wesley say, after Luther, I am next? Amen. They were just doing their thing themselves. They were just preaching and doing what God led in their heart to do. But they didn't know it was a move of God. But when God revealed that it was a move of God, everybody started coming. Me too. What is happening here now? Now move of God. Did others reveal like that? It's still impersonation. Now we have people who say they are John. People who say they are this. People who say they are this. Oh, how the wisdom of God passed in our understanding. It's too late. All of you making claims. It's too late. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, no eighth angel, no chief apostle, no lead apostle, no any other office. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then they are trying to push that to Pastor Moses. Because once these men of God that are holding into this message of William Branham, once they have anything big and small that others don't have, they begin to take upon themselves some chieftaincy title. And because there are things happening in this ministry that is not happening in so many intermediate churches, if not even all of them. Now they are expecting me now to make a claim that I am some chief and chiefest and a most senior apostle. Praise the Lord. God will never use anybody like that this year, this age. Amen. Who God will use? He will make sure he will use a man that will not come and spoil his program again by making unnecessary claims. We did not plan this church to start. All of us that are ministers, if we are sincere, we have been saying it, we don't know what God wants to do in this church. I am preaching. What I am preaching as he gives me to preach. Not because I occupy any special office that anybody doesn't have. Nothing like that. You have a greater number of people than others. It is not because of anything. Now you know why they gather people here. Amen. And you will soon know. Because he's not here playing games. Praise the Lord. The times and seasons, because God has an agenda. And the instruments that God uses, they are normally very humble instruments. There are not people that will come and then make some claims. what he suffered in the hand of Lucifer, he cannot suffer it again in the hand of any man. When you give a position finish, you want to claim the same position with God. God will pack you one side and move forward. He will not share his glory with anyone. Praise the Lord. So be very, very attentive this morning. When you see me suspend song service for us to say something, it means I have something to say. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I told you that once, for those coming for the first time, that once God, what happened in the Garden of Eden did not take God by surprise. Always have that as a foundation for whatever revelation you build upon. It was not by surprise. That's why we begin to hear how our names are written in the book of life before the foundation of the world. Why? Apostle Paul called that revelation, he said, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Amen. Through foreknowledge, your destiny was determined before you were formed. And so he has a book of life with names of people to be saved. And those names were written there before the world began. Why? Because before the world began, he knew that he would create Adam and Eve, and one creature, serpent, inspired by the devil, will spoil the show. And the whole world will be condemned to hell. But he will come in his mercy and offer his hand of mercy to the world, and some will believe and some will not believe. And before Adam and Eve was created, he saw those that will believe. He saw me that I will believe. I don't know who else. And before the foundation of the world, he wrote my name in the book of life. And we are the reason why he went to the cross on Calvary. Praise the Lord. So he, knowing this, he had an agenda, knowing that Satan, serpent, will spoil the show. He began immediately, he activated his plan to restore man back, even when it was just Adam and Eve there. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, when he spoke about the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And we know that the seed of the woman is who? Is Jesus Christ. Amen. And the seed of the serpent, as prophesied in that verse 15, they are those who crucified him on the cross of Calvary. Because verse 15 of Genesis chapter 3 is what was fulfilled. He said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his feet. Hallelujah. And then they were bruising him there, his feet there on the cross of Calvary. But when another point in time, hallelujah, after the 1,000 years reign, he, that seed of the woman Christ, will come and scatter him. Kata-kata. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so he ignited the agenda from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, listen, church. God had proposed that he will save the whole world by grace. Because through his foreknowledge also, he knows that if he give us any law, the nature of sin in us will never enable us, give us the ability to live a life pleasing before him. That's why, while we were yet sinners, he already died and made provision for us, demonstrating his love. I also want you to know that when you go deeper in what is happening, I've explained in the past exhortations I gave, that whatever God did, it was just taking opportunity to display his attributes. Nothing more. We are created for his pleasure. And I told you that, I said, this earth, amen, has been in existence for millions of years. And in my own terminology, I say this earth is just God's own laboratory for testing his attributes. So, there was a time there were animals, at least we know as far as that is concerned. There were even angels first that he created. He tested them. They failed. Then he had an animal kingdom on this same earth. How long they live, we don't know. Praise the Lord. They also failed before he decided to create man to display another attribute, other attributes he has. And for man, we are only about 6,000 years on earth here. And when we finish, we will go back to eternity. The program ends with us entering eternity. We don't know what will happen after that. Whether he will create another thing, or he will do another thing, we don't know. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But one thing I am happy about is that once you have received eternal life has no end. So I know whatever thing else he will do does not concern me again. I am already living eternally with him. I cannot face any temptation again. I cannot face any test again. I have had my own tests and I have passed. That's why I will be with him eternally. How many people have eternal life here? Oh, thank you very much. But certainly, there will be another thing he will make again on earth here to test. I don't know what it will be. Praise God. Because by that time, Satan is totally consumed. So there will be nothing to tempt people again. So I don't know which area he will. But remember, he has the yam. He has the knife. He decides what to do with whatever he wants to do to achieve what he wants to achieve. But we need to know it. And knowing some of these things honestly makes you understand God better and helps you to know how to walk with him and gives you hope. Those of us that the enemy has caged everywhere. Everywhere. You see, when somebody asked me a question during question and answer one of these sessions and said, what of those somebody killed you. If somebody kills someone, what will happen since he didn't commit anything and killed the killer? Before he gave his life to Christ, somebody went and killed him. So you are expecting me to answer that the sin of that dead person will be on the head of the person that killed him, have you? I said, not be so. Amen. Listen, church, how you die does not matter. I mean, by which means you die does not matter. Whether by accident, by poison, by a witch, by an assassin, kidnappers, ritual killer, they kill you. Amen. Or you sleep, you don't wake up. It doesn't matter before God how you were killed or how you died. But what matters is at the time you died, what was the condition of your soul? That is what matters before God. For every man will give account of himself. And that is why it is necessary that while we are alive now, we begin to prepare for hereafter. A thought just occurred to me a few days ago. I was thinking, just looking, I said, a lot of human beings, a majority of human beings, are so myopic. Myopic in the sense that they don't see farther than they seem to be seen. Because the way you plan reflects on how you perceive life. There are people, if you see the way they are struggling and struggling to make ends meet and struggling. What are you struggling for? So that I can have a house, so that I can have a car, so that I can have a wife, so that I can have this, so that I can have education. And then they are planning and planning and planning. And all this plan is for you to enjoy until the day you die. But you have forgotten that after you die, it's not the end of life. So why are you planning for this life here and you are not planning for the life hereafter? You see? People are so myopic. You are struggling by all means to make it here. Even as temporary as it is. And Jesus Christ, he says, struggle, he says, lay your treasures. Where? Above. He said, where thieves and moth will not eat it up. Don't lay your treasures here. Eh? I didn't say you should not struggle to make it here. I said there is short time plan for life. There is long time plan for life too. Plan for your life here and hereafter. Here and hereafter. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because a lot of us are just suffering from the spirit of religion. You know nothing about some, you know, way of life. But you don't know that God has a program for every human being. He said, it is appointed unto man once to die. After that, what happens? So if there is judgment, then there is another life after you have died. Amen. So, and that judgment is to account for how you live within a short space of time he gave you before that ritual killer killed you. Before that accident kill you. Before that sickness kill you. Hey, come and give account how you live. Amen. So all this teaching is to enable us, you know, prepare ourselves. And more importantly, is for us to know at what point we are in now in God's program for salvation. And at what point we are in now, and how long more are we going to wait? If we don't go by the way of the grave through death, how long more are we going to wait before the rapture? Knowing that helps you also that live a very careless Christian life to buckle up. It's true. Praise the Lord. So the mystery is a mystery. And it's a program. And we need to study it. God designed that he will save by grace. And we know how he did it. There's nothing that Noah did that deserved the grace that was given to him. When the whole world was destroyed, that serpentine nature was still in him. He finished that phase. He came and picked Abraham. And decided that he will use Abraham as a point of contact for the next agenda. For the next item in the agenda. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's read Genesis chapter 12. When that songwriter says, will you be ready when the Lord shall come? And everybody say, I will be ready. How will you be ready? How will you be ready when you don't know how he will come? That's why he says you should watch and pray. It is the watch now. We are watching now. So let us watch. Okay. Now this is the way he put it from verse 1. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. That was the beginning. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. God watches his word to perform it. When I read this verse anytime, I turn and I look. Is Israel not a great nation today? You know, when God wants to make a point, He will do it in a way. He will do it in a way that everybody will know this is God. Eh? See, China. 1.something billion people. Eh? India. 1.something billion people. He didn't choose them. He chose one tiny group of people, one small nation. Eh? But do you know that almost every, all the major scientific inventions are invented by the Jews? In medical science, in automobiles, in everything. I'm telling you, whether it is satellites, whether it is telephone, whether it is the mobile phone, the cell phones, all the technology for major surgeries, they are invented by the Jews. And 90% of all the laureates, the winners of the Nobel laureate award, 90% of them are Jews. He said, "You make them great. Very, very great." Hallelujah. Boko Haram cannot operate in Israel. Hallelujah. Al Qaeda can't go near Israel and spoil their show. That day they will grab all of them. Praise the Lord. They have the gadgets to see them having meeting. They have the gadgets to see them going in their convoy. They will attack them before they even enter the convoy. Special skill given to them. Why? God's covenant is upon them. So also is God's covenant upon us here in Christ. We remain untouchable. If not, we will not be in this land now. Eh? Eh? Do you believe it? It's God's covenant here. Can we clap our hands for our God? Untouchable. Verse 2 again. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that cursed thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Hallelujah. Go to chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. From verse 1 again. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abraham, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. A father of many nations, not nation. Take note of that. So he's not only the father of Israel. And the reason why he's not only the father of Israel, but the father of many nations, because he told him, in thee shall all the families of the earth, nations of the earth, be blessed. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Amen. Both good and bad. There are spiritual nations and physical nations. Praise the Lord. The Arabs are nations. They are the Ishmaelites. Good and bad. And Israel also is another nation. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee, in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Praise the Lord. And that was the beginning of God igniting another stage of his plan to restore mankind back to what he had proposed it to be in the Garden of Eden before the serpent came and thwarted it. Praise God. But now watch it. When he did that, he picked Abraham and picked his children after him. We know the story of how they were in Egypt and how he now pulled them out to go to where he has appointed for them, the land of Canaan. And while he was there, he, God, that came to save by faith, by grace, now gave them the law. And that is where so many people have gotten confused till now. The law. The purpose, there's a purpose why God gave the law. Praise the Lord. God has his own way of dealing with his children. God has his own way of, you know, stressing a point before his creatures. Amen. When God wants you to appreciate him, he will allow you to go under serious stress first. So that when he steps in, you will appreciate him. That is his principle generally. There are some of you, watch those who just received the Holy Ghost. Hey, bah! A gift began to operate. They did not fast. They did not do anything. Just like that, woo, bah! Just like that. They shake their head. Bishop will come, shake their head. Watch the life they live. Amen. Watch those who just, you know, they don't know how it happened. Just hear money, hear money, hear money. Watch. They have no time for God. They don't even have time to pray. Amen. Now, but all those that God has a relationship with to achieve a purpose to his glory, he will do things around you that will give you reason to appreciate him. Catch it. It happens to everyone that God has a specific purpose in your life that will glorify him. That is how he does it. Praise the Lord. If he's going to use you after giving you the Holy Ghost, he will let you stay around for some time. The man by your left don't receive. The one by this one don't receive. 4 years ago, you fast, oh, you came. You no get. Hey, so me, then, while you are there crying, the pastor will speak, say, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you are not going to the rapture. You say, hey! So I'm finished. 4 years now. Father, what have I done? 4 years. Every Holy Ghost baptism, and they come. 4 years. What happened? And some of you give me that call. And remember, I always answer you. I say, the evidence of water, that there is water existing, is thirst. If there is no water, you will not feel thirsty. Praise the Lord. It's not everybody that asks for the Holy Ghost. The evidence that you are a candidate for the Holy Ghost is the desire to receive the Holy Ghost. And it is God that puts the desire in you. Oh, that's the mystery. Praise the Lord. You have to catch it. So that the day he gives you the Holy Ghost, you will cherish that experience. You will not need for fear that he may withdraw it. When you suffer well before you make money, when you receive that money, the way you will guard it. A woman that stays so long before she marry, the day she marry, whether the man good or bad, or he go holy thing. Jeje. praise the Lord. So there's a reason why he gave the law. Hallelujah. This is the reason. Romans chapter 5. I don't say to somebody problem. No. That's the reason why God never give you. Because some will receive, even in this church. Nobody, they don't even want to attend Bible study. Let's see the whole Bible say, when will they read? They know they read Bible with us. Nothing. All they want is just pray. They can go to the mountain for more anointing. But to know that God, no. And to them, God don't give them something to eat by. That's the reason God gave them the anointing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we there? Romans chapter 5. Verse 20 and verse 21. It said, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That the reason why law was given, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What he's saying here, the reason is God purposely gave the law to tell everybody, if you are going to follow me, these are the laws you must keep. He gave the Ten Commandments. And he gave other ordinances. He gave other laws. Go to the book of Leviticus, see them lined up there. Deuteronomy lined up there. The book of Numbers lined up there. What is it? There are so many until, if you are going to keep them, you have to be walking about with a book. If you see dead body, there is a ritual you have to make. If you are inside, you are having your menses, you are unclean for a certain number of days, don't go near the temple. If you born man child, na baby boy you born, there's a number of days you wait aside. If na girl, number of days you wait aside. And then there are certain rituals you will do with pigeon, with dove, with this one. Oh! So, we are just living by, I won't go out now, what did the Lord say concerning this one? That is how we are living every day. And the Jews were given that law, and they were getting themselves proud. We are different from this Gentiles, because we have the law of God that we are walking by. Praise the Lord. But unknown to them, no man is able to keep the law of God, because if you break one, you have broken all. Praise the Lord. So, what was the purpose of the law? The law was to make man know how inadequate he is. To know how inadequate he is. Let's read some more scriptures. Romans chapter 7. Verse 7. Amen. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay? I had not known sin but by the law. Okay? So, remember that you cannot impute sin until there is a law. Do you understand what I mean? You cannot impute sin until there is the law. Amen. Until there is a law. Okay, let me read on. Again, verse 7. Romans chapter 7. Verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Praise the Lord. And the commandment which was ordained to life, the commandment that was ordained to life, I found it to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good, was then that which is good made death unto me, God forbid. But the reason is this, but seeing that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. You can read that on and on up to verse 25. Romans chapter 8. Praise the Lord. Because the only way, amen, it was through Christ that saved us. Therefore, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Galatians chapter 3. I told you we shall read some scriptures. Amen. This is the way Apostle Paul put it to the Galatians. Verse 19. Up to verse 26. Wherefore, then serveth the law, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Who is that seed? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture had concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. That is the purpose, nothing more. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So what is the law? He concluded by saying the law was a schoolmaster. And it's not this modern day type of school. In those days, we were afraid of teachers more than our parents. In those days, our parents threatened us to report us to our teacher. You jam your teacher from primary school. Oh, you jam your teacher in the town. You check your dressing. Because the man will see you tomorrow, you will answer for the condition he met you today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, it was a schoolmaster to push you to something good. And what is that thing at the school? It was grace. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, he told Abraham, where we read in Genesis chapter 12 verse 3, he told him, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In thee. And he specifically mentioned, in thy seed. And it means Amen. Right from when he was making a covenant with Abraham, he was already talking of Christ. While he was laying curse in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, when they committed that sin, he was already talking of Christ. Amen. The end result of the whole matter for salvation is fulfilled in Christ, the mediator between God and man. Praise the Lord. So, Apostle Paul made it clear in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Let's just pick some verses there. This is the way he put it in verse 16. He says, now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, the promise, and to thy seed, which is who? Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 13. Go to verse 13. Amen. It said, verse 13 and verse 14. It said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Because the law, amen, brought death to us. So it was a curse. Because something that was supposed to be a blessing was resulting in our death. So it was a curse. You commit it, you die. Caught in adultery, they stone you, you die. Amen. Tooth for a tooth. An eye for an eye. Kill my mama, I kill your mama. God, no vex. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. For what reason? Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The seed of Abraham. Go forward again, verse 27, up to verse 29 of chapter 3. He said, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Can I see the children of Abraham here? Oh my. Praise the Lord. So by that, Romans chapter 9 is fulfilled. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. We read it today in our first Bible reading by our lay reader, Pastor Thomas. Are we there? Verse 23. We read up to verse 26. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore from the foundation of the world, prepared unto glory, even us, whom he had called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he said also in Hosea, I will call them, the Gentiles, my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass, that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Amen. It was fulfilled through the cross. Praise the Lord. Another scripture, John chapter 10, verse 16. That's how salvation came to us. Verse 16. Amen. Let me read it from verse 14 so that we catch it clearly. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, he said, and other sheep. There are other sheep I have. And as I read this, Sister Mary from Akwa Ibom, you sent me a text yesterday, maybe during the question and answer session, but I didn't see it till I got home. You sent it to the wrong number. You were asking what the Bible meant when he said there are other sheep in John 10:16. If you are listening to me now, Sister Mary, the other sheep, now you and me, the Gentiles. The sheep he had before was, he said, I come here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But he is saying that apart from the sheep of the house of Israel, there are other sheep. And those other sheep, amen, is you and I. But how will he come to us? He came to us by the way of the cross. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, Israel, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. They shall hear my voice. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Hallelujah. This is what he's saying. Jesus paid it all. All to him I go.
Sin of land of cleansing
sin. I'd let my kids be saved. Hallelujah. We had his voice when he shouted, come unto me, ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We had his voice. All those who are still in beer parlor, prostitution, ritual killers and cults and serving shrines, they have not heard his voice, and they will never hear unless they are of his fold. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere. Hey, listening.
I'll be somewhere.
Listening for my name. I'll be somewhere. Hallelujah. I remember verse 16 again. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd, neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free. No osu. No osu. We are one in Christ Jesus. One fold. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is what Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56. He saw it. He prophesied. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 8. This is the way he put it. Isaiah 56. And verse 8. Praise God. The Lord God, which gathered the outcasts of Israel, said, yet will I gather others to him, beside those that are gathered unto him. Beside those, beside the Jews, there are others. And he was going to do it through the cross. That's why we see in Genesis 48 the story of Jacob blessing the two sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim was the junior and Manasseh was the senior, and he's about to die. He wants to release prophetic blessing. Those men, they were men indeed. They were so close with God until anything they say, heaven will back it up to generations. And they knew the power they had. They said, okay, what will I do? Bring this to your two children. And naturally, the strong hand is not the right hand. Amen. And so he brought Manasseh to the right and brought Ephraim to the left. They were standing before him. You know, he could not see. He was so old until his eyes were so dim. Praise God. And when it was time to lay hands, he was supposed to lay hands straight. But what did he do? He crossed it. Hallelujah. That by the way of the cross, the blessing that was for the Jews cross over to the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. And then Jesus added, the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. We are privileged people. Would you clap your hands for Jesus? We are very privileged people, church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so this divine agenda is revealed several in the scripture. But there are five men that from my study I saw had this special privilege to understand this. And they put them down like that here and here. And in this age we can get a total picture of it and lay it down chronologically by the spirit of revelation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isaiah was one of them. Daniel was one of them. Apostle Paul. In fact, in the case of Daniel, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Daniel in chapter 7 and chapter 8. Chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 2, he saw the four world empires that will rule this earth before Christ will come. By the interpretation that he gave to the dream of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2. And when you come to Daniel chapter 7 also, praise the Lord, he also saw the same thing. In a dream that he had, God gave him the privilege that he also saw the four beasts that he saw there was the same world, four world empires, and a vivid description of what he will use to describe how those empires will appear. And exactly, it has come to pass. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They are very privileged people. John the Revelator saw it also in the Isle of Patmos that produced the book of Revelation. And William Branham also in this age, God gave him the privilege to see and be part of that divine agenda, to understand. It's a great privilege. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, but the proper picture begins from the revelation that was given to Daniel, that is popularly known as the 70 weeks of Daniel. So that is where we will concentrate now. And so, in continuation of the divine agenda, we will look at the divine agenda, and in bracket, we call it, title it, the 70 weeks of Daniel. And that is in Daniel chapter 9. Can we go there now? Amen. Now I want you to be very, very careful, those of you who have not heard this before. The entire message, believers, every monumental revelation that God gave William Branham for the bride in this age, Satan hijacked some statements that William Branham made to distort the flow of that revelation among his people. So even the Daniel 70 weeks, there is a lot of contentions in it. You see? When he came to give us the exposition, the revelation of the seven seals, they hijacked it again. And nothing but to distort, you know, the flow of what that revelation is supposed to achieve. And see them fragmented all on that same teaching. But I'm telling you, God can never leave his people in confusion. So please, you just follow. Amen. Brother Shadrach, the Cameroonian, I don't know if you are here this morning. Shadrach, are you here? Just wave your hand. Are you here? Shadrach, Brother Shadrach, the Cameroonian brother. Okay. Now you sent a text to me yesterday, but when I tried to speak with you, the network could not allow us to speak. Now during the vigil, somebody called from overseas and was asking about Revelation, about the sixth seal. About the sixth seal. And in answering, I was telling them that the seventh seal in the chronology of fulfillment, in the fulfillment, listen, church, William Branham came to give us the revelation. I told you earlier that John saw the opening of the seals. It was not William Branham that opened the seals. Understand my language? Because he said the first seal was open. It was John that was telling us the first seal was open, and the first beast told him, "Come and see." So it was already open, and it was when it was open that he saw a horse rider. All John saw was horse with somebody on top. Another time he saw another horse. There was another color. Until he saw four horses. And what he saw was what he wrote. But the meaning of those horse riders, he didn't know it until this age. So the revelation was given to William Branham. Amen. Now, he was busy telling us what each seal meant, what the horse riders meant, and he backed it up with history, and God backed it up with infallible vindication from above for everyone, the whole world, to see that what the man is saying is the truth. When he came to preach the seventh exposition of the seven church ages that were hidden there to the church in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, and all this one. That is all theologians are reading. What they meant, nobody knew what they meant until God came and showed William Branham. After he preached that message, when he finished, he suddenly the pillar of fire came down. He was at the pulpit and he told the congregation, said, "Turn back and see something." They turned back and the pillar of fire came to the wall, a space in the wall at the back of the auditorium, and began to rewrite what William Branham drew in a chart that he was explaining it. He repeated it with a pillar of fire, and every idea saw a light that was drawing back to confirm that what he spoke is the truth. It's the truth. Hallelujah. God's attributes we are manifested to his bride in this last day. We have found our revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and what we are. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For the original. The original. The original world. It's what I believe. We are the Word made flesh today. We are the Word made flesh today.
This is what has been just said. And amen has been within, redeemed and perfect without sin. Yes, we are anointed.
Oh,
and inspired by our God.
We are called unto adoption. Adoption. Full authority. Glory, hallelujah, to our God. Oh, yes. Was original. Hallelujah. Original Christianity. We are traveling on the right road.
We are traveling on the right road.
There is one way.
There is one way
to the city of God.
To the city of God.
We are traveling on the right road.
On the right road. Don't hinder me, John. Tell your husband, tell your wife, tell your pastor. As some of you who are in these dead churches, and when you discover light somewhere you want to go, the pastor will be blocking you with threatening you. Just turn and sing to him. If you won't go, don't hinder. Simple. Praise the Lord. So you have to catch that. Amen. And so my brother from Cameroon, as I was saying, in the chronology of fulfillment of the opening of those seals, the seventh seal, which is the last seal, is fulfilled before the sixth seal. Amen. I don't know what is confusing you. I know why. It's because of the confusion of the revelation of the seven thunders. Maybe one of those teachers has confused you. So why I stress this is so that you listen carefully, so that you too will be able to withstand these false people carrying the sermon books of William Branham and quoting themselves out of the light and going further in darkness, holding something that should show them the light. Amen. They have denominated the end time message. But you can't denominate the word of God in this age. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so we go to Daniel now. Chapter 9. So listen very carefully. Amen. Verse 1 and verse 2. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus. One thing I love about the prophecies of Jeremiah and Daniel, even Isaiah, is they will give you a reference point because there is history. So that you will know the date he is referring to. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Two things to pick from verse 2. Number one is the emphasis that Daniel understood by books. And Daniel is a type of the seven church age bride of Jesus Christ. Study to show thyself approved. Study, study, study. Approved unto God, not unto man. Unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That scripture means so much. First Timothy, is it first or second Timothy? First Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Daniel was in captivity, but he knew while in captivity, Daniel knew that they were not supposed to be in Babylon forever. Church, the gospel came to us in the Gentiles, the Gentile church. The gospel left Israel for us. It will not stay with us forever. It will not stay with us forever. That's why I say Daniel is a type of the bride of Jesus Christ. The gospel left Israel, as we shall see later, and came to us. It is certainly going to be with us for a particular number of period of time. Daniel was in captivity. We know the story of the captivity. It dates back to Jeremiah chapter 25. Let's get the picture. Let's go to Jeremiah 25. Let's go to Jerry. Jerry. Chapter 25. Are we there? We are coming back to Daniel chapter 9. Our study is Daniel chapter 9, the whole of Daniel chapter 9, that is where the divine timetable is. Praise God. And you will never see any book written about that in any bookshop. So you better listen very well. Okay, if we are there, I read it from verse 8. Remember, by the time we reach verse 8, from verse 1, God has sent many prophets to Israel, warning them about their idolatrous lifestyle, warning them, but they will not take heed to those warnings. And when God keeps warning you, you refuse to take heed, he knows what to do with you. They refuse to keep the laws, they refuse to keep the commandments, the ordinances. Verse 8, therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, he's talking to Israel, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, said the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. Hey. Do you know that some Christians, the witch that is troubling you is God's servant? Eh? Amen. Do you know that that demon husband, demon wife may be God's servant? So sometimes when you see a certain situation refusing to change and a particular demon is tormenting you, enemy tormenting you like that, wait and look inward. Something may be wrong somewhere. That's the reason why we are undertaking a 21 days journey. To check, to make sure nothing is hindering us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, let me read it again. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, said the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and an hissing, and perpetual desolations. Hey. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of myrrh, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. Kai. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And this nation shall serve the king of Babylon. How many years? How many years? And it shall come to pass, 70 years, and it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, said the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans. I will take it perpetual and make it perpetual desolation. That also makes us learn another principle of God. After he has used his servant, the witch, to deal with you, when you now repent and you reconcile with him, he will now face that his servant, the witch. That is how God works. Oh. So let my enemies not rejoice. When I am settled with my God, I will turn and see how he will deal with you again. Now listen. Why specifically 70 years? Go to 2 Chronicles. Chapter 36. Hallelujah. Now, are we there? Chapter 36, verse 19 and up to 21. 2 Chronicles 36. That is the reason why he gave them 70 years, specifically 70 years. Can we go on? I'm being slow so that people can mark it in their Bibles or write it down. Verse 19. Amen. It's telling you how Jerusalem was destroyed. The chronicles of what happened. That is the book of Chronicles, says chronicling what happened when Jerusalem was destroyed. And that was as a result of their disobedience when God sent Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, to come and pack them away. That is the record there. But this record keeper was a little bit more detailed. Verse 19. And they burnt the house of God and break down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the godly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried him away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. This is the reason, verse 21. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jerusalem, until the land had Jeremiah. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. Until the land has enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70, that is 60, and 10 years, 70 years. So, it means there is a law that they broke. Hallelujah. That law is in Leviticus chapter 25. Let's read it. Chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25. Amen. From verse 1, maybe up to verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. That means, okay, verse 3. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the 7th year, that is the law, shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vine. Yeah, that was the law. Go to chapter 26. If you refuse to do that, see the punishment in verse chapter 26, verse 14. Are we there? Verse 14. It says, but if you will not hearken unto me, I will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgment, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my commandment, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning arg that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. Go to verse 27. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury, and I will chasten you 7 times for your sins. And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation, and I will not smell the savour of your sweet odors, and I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lieth desolate, and you be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbath. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbath when you dwell upon it. Oh, won't you fear God? Amen. So they were there 70 years. Captivity was determined for them. Praise the Lord. But I always want you to note that when God hands you a child over to the enemy, he does not tell the enemy how long he will use. So don't think that Nebuchadnezzar knew that it would be 70 years. It's only the prophet that knew, because the word of the Lord always comes to the prophet. Say, he, the Lord, will do nothing, but he revealed it to his servant, the prophets. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 18, Peter asked Jesus, how many times will somebody offend me before I will revenge? Is it 70 times? Jesus said, not only 70 times, but 70 times 7. He was giving them prophecy to let them understand why they suffered. God bear with them. The first Sabbath, they refused to keep. If he was forgiving them. The next one, he was forgiving them. The next one, he was forgiving them. The next one, he was forgiving them. He allowed it to read 70 times. Before he stroke. And they had to remain. Each Sabbath that they denied the land in their disobedience, they spent it in captivity. If that is how God punishes, amen, then some of us, remember, he is the Lord that changeth not. So if you are undergoing any punishment now, it's very easy for you to know when it will end. Just calculate how long you remained in that disobedience after you gave your life to Christ. Then you can know when it will be over. You don't pay your tithe. How many times, how many businesses have you done that you didn't pay your tithe? How many favors did you receive that you didn't pay your tithe? There is a record kept somewhere. When God is fed up with you, you will start to pay. You will pay back the number of times. In punishment or not in restitution. Do you understand me? Don't go and calculate and say, okay, let me pay it. No, don't bother to pay it. You will pay it by punishment. You will cry. And nobody will hear you. The number of times you refuse to pay. So, you better repent now if you didn't know before. Repent now. Tap your neighbor. Say, repent, repent. Repent, repent, repent. Repent, repent. Repent. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sister, you are used to selecting, Abby. How many men did you disappoint? You gave them hope. And they all left. Ah, very soon. So you say, I don't know. I'm always having disappointment. All of them, they don't read three now. Wait, but before you know whether you don't come to an end, think back. How many men did you disappoint? The same number will have to disappoint you first. It's not a course. I'm reading Bible. This is the knowledge. That's why we say study the Bible. Don't read the Bible. Study. Everything there is a lesson for you. That's how God talks to us, through his word. Well, let's go to our study. Praise the Lord. Go back to Daniel now. Where we are reading is Daniel chapter 9. Amen. Now, I read that verse 2 again. He said, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolation. And without going on to the necessary details, according to the history, by the time that Daniel suddenly realized an awakening came to him that we are not supposed to be in this captivity forever. By the time he realized that, they had been in captivity for already 68 years. 68 years they had been there. And I want you to note, if Daniel is a type of the bride, and Israel is a type of the church of Christ, because there is the church of Christ and there is the bride of Christ. Amen. Because The others, they were all in Babylon. They had already integrated themselves into the Babylonian nation, into their way of life. They have been so rooted there. But I'm telling you that there were some revelated Jews, spiritual Jews among them, that always will remember that this world is not our home. And one day, we will go back to our lands. And that's why they came together and they were singing that song, by the rivers of Babylon. Eh? How did it go? And there we were.
And there we were.
He said, when we remember
Zion,
for the
weekend carry us away, captivity requires for us a song. And I will sing the Lord's song in a tender.
He said the wicked carried us in captivity, and they are telling us to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. So there were spiritual Jews, even apart from Daniel there. He said, how can they sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The only song they will sing in a strange land, hallelujah, is one day, we shall go home. In the name of Jesus, we shall go home. This whole world can never hold me. Any moment, I'll be gone, for I've made
my consecration, and I am my wedding garment on.
The only song they can sing is, this world is not my home,
I'm just a passing through.
Listen, church, let's sing the Lord's song in a strange land. And all those worldly musicians that are singing the Lord's song in all those unbelieving settings, they are singing the Lord's song in a strange land. Anything you do that is not done in Christ is abomination before God. I'm telling you, you don't sing the Lord's song in a strange land. A strange mouth have no right to sing the Lord's song in that dirty mouth. Abominable mouth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Daniel chapter 9, where we are reading. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, just as the bride of Jesus Christ, we are doing everything we can. Study now to know that this gospel that came to the Gentiles, this gospel that came to the Gentiles will not remain for long with us. Daniel found out that it remained 2 years. After the end of this teaching, we will know how many more years are remaining for us too. Yes, we will know. But we will not set date, oh. Praise the Lord. No, nobody should set date. But we will know the times and the season. We will know. We will know that Gentile days will be over by so-so time. Anytime after so-so time, the rapture will strike. We will know it. We will know it. Like Daniel. Praise the Lord. Okay, verse 3 now. And when he found that out, there remained only 2 years. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting. Can you see? When you have found out how short the time remaining, the next thing that will be left for you is to seek the Lord in prayer with supplication, constantly fasting. checking yourself so that you don't get ruled by the flesh. In sackcloth and ashes, nothing appears to you more than going to heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful Lord, keeping the covenant of mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Yes. Hallelujah. He began to pray. And verse 20. Now let's go to verse 20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my people, of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man, that man there is angel, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touch me about the time of the evening oblation, during the evening offerings. Verse 22. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. And they said, at the beginning of thy supplication, amen, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Who came to Daniel, the bride? It was an angel. And by God's grace, the bride of Jesus Christ now has understanding and skill through the voice of the seventh angel. You have to catch that, church. He always does it by an angel. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. It is a ministry. And this is the understanding. Remember, the angel told Daniel in Daniel chapter 12, seal up the book, close it until the end time. Hallelujah. He said that many people will go to and fro looking for knowledge, they won't get it. He said, but the wise, what will happen to them? The wise shall understand. And nobody is wise until the spirit of wisdom comes to you. Praise the Lord. And the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24 says Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. And Christ, only Christ himself, can give this type of knowledge. And he came down by himself by the spirit of wisdom. And to show that it was not the wisdom of man. When these revelations were given to that servant of God, William Branham, he came down and revealed his face to the whole world through that pillar of cloud we see hanging there as a symbol of our faith. It was the face of Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. The wise shall understand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then the angel now began to give Daniel the divine timetable. Can we go now? Verse 24. Amen. Should fire on. This is what the angel said. Amen. He said, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Who are his people? Israel. To finish the transgression. Okay, let me read it again. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. The holy city is Jerusalem. To make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. All these six things will take place within what period? How many weeks? 70 weeks. Praise the Lord. That is what is referred to as the 70 weeks of Daniel. Now, watch it, church. Amen. The 70 weeks there, they are prophetic weeks, which we have said here several times. 1 week there is 7 years. To confirm that, we see that in Genesis chapter 29, reading from verse 16 to verse 28, when Jacob went to serve 7 years to be able to marry his heartthrob, Rachel. But when, after the 7 years, he was supposed to have her, Laban, the father of Rachel, instead handed over Leah and said, it is not done like that. Anyway, remember that he too, he 419 somebody before. So 419, as you sow, that is how you'll be reaping too. Yes, now you tip your master's things, money, when you were serving your master. When you set up your own business, your boy is going to tip your own things too. It's just normal. It's normal. It's normal. Anyway, so he was protesting in Genesis 29. And Jacob, Laban told Jacob, it's not so. Here, our tradition, you don't give the junior one up for marriage before the senior one. So if you still want her, then he said, fulfill her week. That was the language used there. Fulfill her week. And to fulfill her week, it means serve another 7 years. So that is how we know that 1 week means 7 years. 1 day is 1 year. Amen. So if 70 weeks is determined upon his people and upon the holy city to complete a program up to the last stage of anointing the Holy One, and that Holy One to be anointed, praise the Lord. Amen. Is praise the Lord. That's the last stage. Talking about the temple that will be consecrated for the millennium to start. He said it will last 70 weeks. Is determined to fulfill those 6 things to be done. And those, so if 1 week is 7 years, 70 weeks will be 70 times 7, which is equal to what? 490. In essence, the angel was telling him that there is a period of 490 years that God has determined upon you people and your the holy city, the Jews, to accomplish these things. Praise God. And let's go back there now. Verse 25. It's going to tell them when the 490 years will start, or when the 70 weeks will start. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the priest shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous time. So, when is the 490 years going to start? The angel revealed to Daniel. It will start when the commandment will be given. He is going to cause a commandment to be given to tell the Jews, go back and build again your city, Jerusalem. He said, when you hear that commandment given, then the 70 weeks will begin to count. Count it up till, amen. This is how it will fulfill. 490 years. From that time, that is when all those things will be fulfilled. Amen. Can we go on? That verse 25 again. Note therefore understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, and we want to look at it, when was that commandment given? The commandment was given in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 5. under King Artaxerxes. You read that chapter 2. When Nehemiah had the condition of Jerusalem, everywhere laid in waste, he was so troubled. I remember he was walking the king's court, the king's palace. How he fasted and asked God to give him a sign. And then he went before the king. I am referring to Nehemiah chapter 2. And according to his prayer, that God should cause the king to look at his face and ask him a question. And ask him for favor. And that any favor he asked the king, God let it happen. Exactly as he went after his fasting to serve the Lord, suddenly the king saw his face and asked him, why is your face like this? And then exactly as he asked, the discussion went on. And he just said, King, if you can just allow us a space of time to go and look at our city and then rebuild that place again. The king asked him how long. He told him and asked him, just give a commandment, because all these people will stop us on the way and things like that. And there, the king Artaxerxes gave that commandment to fulfill what the angel told Daniel. And I like to make this comment here. Just as the Christian world is today, so also were the Jews. We had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We had the schools of theology. We had the religious juggernauts with their doctors of divinity. They were reading this book of the Lord, those prophecies. Every time, how a virgin shall conceive and bear a child. And that virgin conceived, and they still didn't understand. If they were actually studying, praise the Lord. Now something new was going on, and somebody was claiming that he is that Messiah. He told that woman by the well, and the woman, John chapter 4, and the woman went to town, and John the Baptist introduced him as the Lamb of God that taken away the sins of the world. And every vindication showed that he was the fulfillment of the scriptures. What they would have done instead of killing him, persecuting him and his followers, they will have gone back to the books. They will have gone back to the books. That's why he said the wise shall understand. The same thing that is happening in this age. That's why religious people always miss the move of God. That's why you can never know God by any school of theology. Oh, when I tell you this, I don't mean to be humble over it. I'm telling you what exactly is what I mean in my heart. That every constantly I offer this prayer to tell the Lord, Lord, your mercy found me among my father's children. You brought me out to see Christ. I didn't do anything to deserve it. I was not looking for you. You were the one looking for me. And not that you just made me to be a Christian. You brought me to be part of the message that you have sent to your church in this hour. You caused me to see the end time message. To see the ministry of William Branham. To see the fulfillment of a scripture. The shout. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. Which is the midnight cry in verse 6 of Matthew 25. You made me to hear the voice of the seventh angel. You made me to see the fulfillment of Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. I didn't know anything about William Branham. I was not looking for anything. I sit down, JJ, you brought that revelation to me through some minister. I say, your next move in your agenda, oh Lord, the same mercy that found me and brought me so far, let that same mercy let me see your next move. It's a sincere prayer I pray. Because many are called, few are chosen. And it's not everyone that began from Egypt that reached the promised land. Christianity is so serious a thing that caused every one of us to hold on to God by the spirit of revelation. I'm telling you. They were there busy doing whatever they were doing, acquiring titles and opening branches and bringing new ideas and new things and promoting themselves and creating hierarchies, redesigning their clothes and then everything busy doing. And that same God that they were supposed to be expecting. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, "Behold, I send my servant messenger." He said, "And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the angel of the covenant whom you delight in." They were expecting him. And suddenly he came and they could not recognize him. You see? I told you the story of that very zealous preacher-in-law of mine who were organizing prayers that they pray. God answered their prayer for me to convert. Then after I converted, then I went into error. And they were organizing prayers for me. And so, when I met him in a burial, I saw him and I just asked him, I said, "Do you believe that every prophecy in this Bible will come to pass?" He said, "Sure, yes, because every word is the word of God." Then I opened Malachi chapter 4. I said, "Do you believe where the scripture says, 'Behold, I send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord'?" I said, "Do you believe this prophecy?" He said, "Yes." "Do you believe it will come to pass?" He said, "Yes." I said, "When it comes to pass, how will you identify it?" The Jews believe that Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 shall come to pass. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." They believe that Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 will come to pass. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child and shall be called Emmanuel." They believe it. They were reading it. When it happened, they were too theologically, intellectually gone, too high to see God that appears in simplicity appear, and they were too high to see the lowly Jesus passing. And so it is, because he did not come out from among the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He did not attend a school of theology. Because William Branham did not attend a school of theology. He did not go to school. So God cannot use him. Even when all the signs that we call their attention to say that we have not seen this type of ministry before, so that they will go to the Bible and see if there is such a ministry in the Bible and line up behind it. They spoke against it, they fight it, the same spirit in the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Zealots and the Herodians denominations. The same thing with the denominations now in the Gentile church. And they missed God then. They are still missing him again today. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so, there is a reference point. Verse 25. I read it again. "Know therefore," understand that, "from the going forth of the commandment, from that day to restore and to build Jerusalem," which is in Nehemiah chapter 2, "unto the Messiah, the Prince, up till the time that Jesus Christ will appear." Daniel was given a prophecy of the appearance of Jesus Christ. The time, the number of years that it will take from the time that that commandment will be given, watch this number of years, the Messiah will appear. What is the period? He said, "It shall be 7 weeks." That means 7 times 7 is what? 49 years and 3 score and 2 weeks. That is 62 weeks. Praise the Lord. So 62, amen. 62 weeks is 434 years, right? Plus 49 years. It's 483 years. So, what the angel was telling Daniel, breaking it down, is from the time that the commandment will go forth up till the time that the Messiah will be cut off. It will last 483 years. So it was very easy to know whether that man that was making claim, whether actually the period he appeared was actually the season by calculation. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous time, all this period, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Numbers 26. And after 62 weeks, remember the first period is 7 weeks, 49 years. They are divided into, you know, two periods. The 69 weeks is divided into two periods. The first period is 49 years, comma, then after 49, then count another 62. 62 weeks, which is 434 years. Why did he break it down like that? That is the period, praise the Lord. The first 49 years was the period that it took, that they were going into the business, moving and building the city and building the walls and all that construction and all the trouble they were going through before the whole place became habitable again. And after that 49 years, the next 62 years was the over 400 years of silence after the prophet Malachi prophesied, no more prophet in the land of Israel until 400 years after when John the Baptist appeared. That is the 62 weeks. So he's saying that and after 62 weeks, that is after the next 62 weeks, which is 434 years, he said the Messiah shall be cut off. Amen. But not for himself. Did he die for himself? Amen. So, exactly 62, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Plus 7, 62 plus 7 is how many years? I mean, that is how many weeks? 69 weeks. 69 weeks. Total period is 69 weeks, which is 483 years. So exactly 69 weeks. So please, anytime I say weeks, you should convert it yourself to the years so that we flow. Okay? So by this understanding, the Messiah will be cut off exactly when it will be 69 weeks out of the 70 weeks that was determined for them. How many weeks will be left? 1 week left. And calculated very well, exactly from the time that the commandment was given, according to history, was B.C. 445. B.C. 445. That is when that king Artaxerxes gave that commandment. And calculated up to A.D. 33, when Christ was crucified, is exactly that period, 483 years. I quickly want to make this comment for those who will use computer to calculate. There's some, remember that in making your calculation, you will find some difference if you calculate it straight. Because, watch it, the BC period is different from the AD period. Now, the BC period, BC is before the Christian era. Amen. Now, all this one we are talking about history. So the historians, in calculating before the Christian era, where BC ends, it ends when King Herod died. All the historians, they pick it from there. The BC period ends when Pharaoh died. After the Christian era, therefore, you know, begins after the death of Herod. So the Christian era, which is what we are still on now, is calculated from when King Herod died. And I want you to note that King Herod, amen, Jesus Christ was born before King Herod died. So, in your calculation, take note that there is overlapping of time in your calculation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, AD 33 does not start counting his age. The age of Jesus Christ did not start from the day praise the Lord. Don't say from the time he was born or something like that. Always note. So in calculating it, please take note of it. But as much as we calculate, you will still see it fall exactly like that. That it, by the time Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross of Calvary, was exactly 483 years. Let's go back there. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are still reading verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Praise the Lord. The people of the prince that shall come is another prophecy there. Amen. The people of the prince that shall come. And it's taking us in history to AD 70. That scripture, when the Roman general Titus came in AD 69 and AD 70 and destroyed the city. That is what scattered Israel again. The reason is because they rejected their Messiah, they crucified him, and laid a curse upon themselves and their children's children. When they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. AD 70, that general came, praise the Lord. And he did that to fulfill what Jesus Christ spoke in Matthew chapter 24, if you read it from verse 15 to 22. When you see the desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, he said, he who is on the mountaintop, don't come down. If you're on the rooftop, don't come down. If you're outside the city, don't come back. Pray that it's not during winter. Woe to her that giveth suck, that has a child, and pray, you know. All that period, he said, because what they will go through will be such that has never been known before on earth since the war began. It will be a terrible period. And history showed how terrible that was. That was exactly what Jesus Christ prophesied also in Luke chapter 19, from verse 41 to verse 44. When he looked at the temple, beautiful temple that had been built. They were being proud of. And he said, the time will come when no stone will be left unturned. And that city, that temple, he wept over it. He said, the reason is because they did not recognize the visitation of their day. They did not recognize it. God came. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the same thing also, Jesus Christ spoke in Luke chapter 21. I'm giving you scriptures because of time. Read it from verse 20 to 24. He spoke how that city will be destroyed until, and it will remain like that, until the times of the Gentile be fulfilled. And it remained like that for over 1,800 years. Till 1948. After the Second World War, we know the treaty that brought them back to the land of Palestine. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, but the emphasis there, why I brought that, we are still coming to that statement later. He said, the people of the priest that shall come. The people of the priest that shall come. When will that priest come? He is the Antichrist. From that statement, we have a key to know where the Antichrist is coming from. Since the people came from Rome, it means the priest that shall come is coming from Rome. Because it was the Roman people that came and destroyed Jerusalem. The people of the priest that shall come. The Antichrist is coming from Rome. Praise the Lord. It is thus said the Bible. And we have too many places here to prove it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so, after the 69th week, the Messiah is cut off. So it remains 1 week. Now the interesting thing for us to know, for those of you hearing us for the first time, is that it was when the Messiah was cut off that the gospel turned to the Gentiles. So as far as the 70 weeks is concerned, God began to deal with them up to 69 weeks and he suspended it there. Left them to go wherever they are supposed to be. They rejected him and used that opportunity, blinding their eyes, and he came to the Gentiles. So, up to now, for the 70 weeks to be completed, how many more weeks are left? 1 week, that is 7 years. And he will go back to them to start that last 1 week, only after he has gotten a bride for himself from the Gentiles. After he has finished with us, he came to pick a bride for himself. That's why we see in Romans chapter 11, where he said, the blindness in part, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, blindness in part is come upon Israel until when? Until the fullness of the Gentile, they come in Romans 11:26. Praise the Lord. Romans 11:11 also said, he, God, was doing it like that also to provoke them to jealousy. And that is the mystery that Apostle Paul was talking about in Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 1 to verse 9. The mystery that is hidden from the foundation of the world, but now made known unto his people by the Spirit of God. What is the mystery? That the Gentiles, that we are nobody, they now come into the commonwealth of Israel and even occupy a higher position than Israel. A people that we are no people, that Jesus called dogs. But grace found them. And now we occupy even a higher position than Israel. Praise the Lord. It's a mystery. And this mystery, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when that voice will begin to sound, Revelation chapter 10 verse 7, that mystery should be rounded up. Praise the Lord. That's the mystery. In Romans chapter 16, verse 25, there's no time to read them. Write them down. That is the mystery. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 to 27. That is the mystery. In Romans chapter 10, verse 19 to verse 20. That is the mystery. in Isaiah 65, verse 1. You can find me, my salvation, in so many scriptures in the Bible. That is the mystery in Isaiah 56 and verse 8. That is the mystery in John chapter 10, verse 16. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He brought us into reconciliation to God by Christ. That is what Apostle Paul is speaking in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to verse 22. And so when you go to Acts chapter 10, Peter, they have received grace, or known to him grace, is coming to the Gentiles. But Peter was the one that was giving the keys to the kingdom. So he has to be the one to open the door for grace to flow to the Gentiles. Christ gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. And the first place he applied that key, oh glory be to God, he's in the house of a Gentile by the name of who? Cornelius. But God showed him a vision where he saw all manner of four-footed beasts, both clean and unclean. And the voice of the Lord spoke to him in a vision, Peter, oya, run, catch one, and kill, and eat. Ah, a Jew? He said, lie, Lord, you know, I have never eaten anything unclean. And God told him, don't call anything common. Don't call that which I have cleansed. He has cleansed the dogs, cleansed me, cleansed everyone through his blood on the cross on Calvary. Don't call anything that he has cleansed. Say he's Osu. He said, now Osu. Take time, oh. The blood of Jesus has cleansed him, has cleansed her. You are calling him or her Osu. Peter. And before you know what? He saw Osu receive Holy Ghost. And he turned and looked at people who followed him. This is just that this Osu has received the same spirit that we receive. The same tongue we are speaking. See how he does speak also. The same spirit we receive. Wow! Tell me anybody here any reason why we should not baptize him. And they took them and they baptized them. Praise the Lord. For the blood of Jesus Christ to also wash away their sins. That is how the gospel began to leave Israel. Praise the Lord. And come to us here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, from the 69th week, between the 69th week and the 70th week, is the Gentile dispensation. So next time we shall look at between that period, the Gentile dispensation. Our time is gone. If you understand anything I've spoken today, can you clap your hand for Jesus? Hallelujah. Let's pick our Bibles. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 161. The day of redemption is near.